Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Ignatius Press is pleased to announce the first national book club created for Catholic schools. Ignatius Book Club for Catholic Schools was launched to support Catholic schools' dedication to forming the whole child, mind, body, and spirit. Ignatius Book Club for Schools partnered with leading publishers of children's literature to offer the best books and educational materials for all reading levels and interests. Head to ignatiusbookclub.com/podcast and find wholesome books that delight, inspire, and enrich.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fraying Friar Podcast. I'm your friendly neighborhood Carmelite, the Fraying Friar, a.k.a. Father Nicholas, reporting to you all live from the Bronx here in New York City. Today I want to talk a little bit about insight I've had while I've been reading a recent book. The book is called On Reading Well, subtitle Finding the Good Life Through Great Books. It's written by Karen Swallow Pryor. I'll put her name down below and see if I can't get a link for y'all. What this book is about is how to understand cultivating a good life, a life of virtue, through reading good literature. Her introduction is phenomenal. She talks about the importance of why we read, what's the importance about reading, different thoughts about reading, how we glean different things from reading good books. One of the important aspects, of course, is seeing the reflection of humanity put forward in the book and allowing us to think about different aspects of what it means to be human. After that intro, she goes into one book for each chapter, and each book is used as a way of showing a virtue. You know, whether it's absent in the book and it's a point being made because of its absence, or if it really puts forward a beautiful aspect of that virtue. So, for example, The Great Gatsby's chapters about temperance. So she looks at the four cardinal virtues and then the three theological virtues and then finally the heavenly virtues that are the things we're supposed to cultivate to overcome the deadly sins that are in our life. You know, as I'm reading this, one of the things, my time in theology, meeting and just speaking and reading good things from a variety of people and listening to my brothers in Carmel and other great priests and sisters and wonderful lay people, is I've been growing a vocabulary, a base, a bank, you know, of words that help to articulate what's moving in my mind and my heart in relationship to Jesus Christ and this vocation I've received and the movements of the Spirit and all these sort of things, because for years, you know, I sort of lacked a way of speaking about these things just because I didn't have that, you know, catechism early on, and I was trained in certain ways through my time at Northern Michigan University to think in certain ways, and they've suited me well, but they're not all-encompassing or offer a totality of the human person. And, you know, I've been really trying to read at least one book a month for a year now, a little over a year. And one of the books I've read over this past year that's really just stuck and stayed with me, and I haven't known why. You know, I know different things that have hooks in on me, but as a big picture why, I just haven't found an answer yet. And that was The Idiot by Dostoevsky. I did a previous podcast, a video about it, and et cetera. You know, and in The Idiot, one of the things that struck me about the protagonist, the one that drives the story along, the idiot, prince, is a multitude of names. One of the issues that people get a little worried about reading like Dostoevsky is a character, you have a multitude of names, so you can get quite confused if you're not careful. You know, and the idiot, relatively speaking, within the context of that book, is an innocent person. Not really done nothing to nobody, you know? Not really fallen into any sort of great sin, no mortal stuff. He's just an odd fellow. Doesn't sort of fit into the cultural norms of his time, even though he doesn't seek to overtly or on purpose offend people. But yet he's also not an overly virtuous person. He's not a man of great virtue within the text. There are some moments where you see he's showing charity and love and et cetera, but there's also a little, near the end, anti-Catholic diatribe based around the Jesuits, actually, showing a little bit of Dostoevsky's inner thoughts about the Jesuits. I'm like, you know, I read books like Karen Pryor, I hear Karen Swallow Pryor, And it helps me to just begin to understand and process, like, well, of course, innocence doesn't necessarily equate to being virtuous. Not offending people, which sometimes our modern notion of being innocent puts forward, doesn't mean this person's striving to live a good life in virtue. He's just sort of going through that book, just bouncing around from family to families, and things just happen to work out for him. And that's so important with literature these days, you know? Maybe as we continue along, we're in our first week of Ordinary Time, we're, you know, Lent's right around the corner, you know, the beginning of March. Maybe find a book, like a nice novel, that you want to read for Lent. But as you read it, you know, cultivate sort of a moral sense. You know, try to look at the different, what's being shown about the moral life through the characters in that book? What's sort of being relegated to the side, saying these are things that maybe should be avoided in the moral life? You know, one of the things about books is, you know, there's not just always a interpretation, but we're offered a variety of different perspectives. You know, sometimes I know for myself, I can be over literalistic and I, you know, what was the author trying to do? What was the author trying to say? And et cetera. And I lose a bit of the narrative. I lose a little bit of the beauty that's in the movement of the story that the author has put forward and has allowed in such a humble way to rest within my hands so I can receive it into my mind and in my heart. Reading itself is like an act of wrestling for the spirit, you know, because sometimes you're going to get challenged by a book and it's not going to make you feel good. It's not going to make you feel nice because there's something deep down inside that maybe you haven't been thinking about or looking about, and that book struck a chord. You know, so maybe this is something to cultivate. Or if you're in a family, find a book that's age appropriate for your kids and you all can sort of read it together and ask moral type of questions. What is it about this character that repulses you? Oh, it's the behavior? Let's wrestle with the behavior of this character. You know, I know for myself, I love The Merchant of Venice of Shakespeare. It's my favorite play by him, King Lear being second. And in The Merchant of Venice, I believe it's Act 3, Scene 1, the most inhuman of all characters, Shylock, has given the most human sort of speech. And that's the famous one where Shylock says to these people that have been mocking him and et cetera, I believe after his daughter stole all this money and abandoned him to go marry a Christian, Shylock looks at these men and says, you know, I a Jew, you a Christian, you know, if you prick us, do we not bleed? If you tickle us, do we not laugh? If you poison us, do we not die? And if you wrong us, do we not seek revenge? And in that speech, he's reminding these people that we're both human and we're not so different. Just because I'm a Jew and you're a Christian doesn't make us hugely different on a lot of things. And I know over this, you know, year of intense reading, just trying to do a book a month, and even before that, trying to do one every other month, not racing through things, but finding books that'll fit in that time that I can just rest with. I just find I'm able to process things in my mind and in my heart that strike me within my ministry. And I find myself after a moment of an encounter with a parishioner, you know, after a big event, maybe here in the parish, I just want to have a little quiet time where I can just sit and stew and see what was in that moment that the Spirit has offered to me in that ministerial activity I've been entrusted with, to so I can understand a little bit better the will of God. You know, sometimes we think God acts just in these ways that poop, you snap your fingers and there you go, you got what you needed. When in essence, you know, the gifts of the Spirit may be coming to us through other people. You know, the other people may help us to unwrap that gift so we can embrace that gift. You know, the other people in our lives may work over our heart in a way in which the fruits of the Spirit can grow. You know, we can begin to see Christ in other people because of the challenges maybe those other people present to us. You know, as he was willing to push and challenge his own disciples. You know, and literature plays a big part in that. And reading something on a screen, tweets and news articles and things like that are important, but they're not the same. They're not the same as a book. You know, and I've, over the years, even my time in the Peace Corps, I've just seen the power when the ability to read is given to somebody. And it truly is a miraculous thing, my brothers and sisters. So may we not take it for granted that we have all received, and if, you know, pretty much most of the people listening to this are in the United States, we've received the ability to read at some level. You know, let's not waste what has been entrusted to us, but let's use it so we can continue to grow and embrace this gift that is our humanity in and by the Holy Spirit, so we can be the fullest person we are meant to be by Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for your time today, my brothers and sisters. Know that I'm with you. Know that I'm praying for you. May God continue to bless you. In the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you very much for your time today, my brothers and sisters. If you like my podcast, please make sure to click that subscribe button. Also, if you want more of my content, you can go over to my website, thefrankfriar.com. There on thefrankfriar.com, you can find links to my Catholic Stand articles. You can find my blog posts. You can find links to my YouTube channel. Also, you can contact me through the contact page. Or if you're discerning vocation, go to the vocation page and send me a message through that. So that's thefrankfryer.com. Thank you very much for being with me today. Know that I'll be praying for you.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.